Deputy Minister Krone, the Dr. Kukeni, and the CEO, and the rest of the delegation, the Director General of Public Works, the rest of the delegation of the Independent Development Trust, and the rest of the delegation of Public Works. I see we've got a DDG here, Ms. Honorable Kola Barnett, who's one of the DDGs here. Who was complaining? Was it Honorable Kofane? Sorry, not you. It was Honorable Kofane that says that Public Works were not represented, the department were not represented. So we've got the DDG here, we've got the DG here. So I think they are quite fully represented. And then to all our other friends, PMG and everyone else, welcome. Honourable members, just on the case of apologies, the Deputy Minister will have to be excused in about an hour's time. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for availing yourself to be here. Your permission is granted for you to be excused in an hour's time.
No, I think that's it. Thank you.
And then Honourable Kupane is not feeling well, so I don't think she will attend. And then I think I've got an apology from Honourable Adams, who will be coming late, as well as Honourable Njobo, who will be arriving late. So that is over then. Any other apologies, members? Everyone was fine. Everyone is here. Deputy Minister, before we start, something you want to do an input on? Or?
No.
Director General? Before I hand over to the IDT?
No, Chair. Thereafter, I will be able to engage on the issues that are going to be raised, as well as what the way forward.
Okay. Members, we remember in Johannesburg when the IDT has briefed the committee, part of the briefing was the challenges that they had in terms of, at the moment, they're operating on their own management fees that they've collected so far. And with departments and sister departments and government entities not paying them for services rendered and work done. We have then asked the IDT to submit a list to the committee so that we can, in actual fact, call those departments with the IDT and Treasury, National Treasury and Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, so that we can find out from them what's the problem, because at the moment the IDT is one of the delivery companies of the of Public Works, but also of government. And if the IDT can't do their work properly or function properly without any finances or resources, then they can't do a service through South Africa. And we were worried about that. So Dr. Kukeni and CEO, we are still waiting on that list before we can proceed with that meeting, because we really, for the interest of moving, we really feel that that if monies are being paid or monies are being owed to this entity, and it's a blockage, because not the fact that service can't be done, but it's got a snowball effect, as we have said, that if IDT can't function, contractors can't function, Deputy Minister, CIDB can't function properly, CBE can't function properly, contractors can't be graded because the IDT hasn't got money to further the enhancement of the built environment or the work that they are doing. So we would really call upon them, Dr. and CEO, Chairperson and CEO, to furnish the committee with that list so that we can, and also see how far you got. I believe there was engagement between yourself and Treasury in terms of, and the Minister, the ministry in terms of that, but also further see how we as a committee can also assist you in getting the necessary that you must be getting. Dr. Fikeni, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. And again, thank you for being given another opportunity to brief you and account for what is happening within the IDT and the support that you have promised. Let me also acknowledge and also appreciate the presence of the Deputy Minister, the DG of our mother department, as well as the senior officials being here, and the support that they have given us over some time as we encounter some of the challenges. I'm very much happy, which would be quite a paradox, to come and present on a matter of this nature and say one is happy to work, because a serious matter of this nature cannot make anyone, happy. We made a promise when we came in as IDT that we had discovered that there was systemic corruption. And as such, we followed that process by having a forensic investigation, also tightening up the whistleblowing. But we immediately realized that we didn't have the money once the preliminary investigation indicated the scale of the problem was quite deep. We approached Treasury to say, can you take over and even fund this investigation? And they said, what is the scope? We said, the scope will be defined by any evidence you find, whether it's corruption, whether it's within the board or executive or anyone. So we are not going to limit the scope. The Accountant General representative said they were very happy that we were approaching them, because they were already doing some investigation on the IDT work with correctional services. So we gave them the report, the preliminary report of things which could be within our reach in terms of the monies we had. So when we had this comprehensive investigation, one of the regions that came out quite prominently was KZN. And the whistleblower came up and indicated that there was some corruption in our relationship with the Msunduzi municipality. Because we already had the treasurer, the treasury on board doing the forensic, we handed over that particular information, and therefore they went straight into the matter. Recently, preparing for this meeting, we met with the investigators from Treasury, whom we gave every power to investigate anything, including taking laptops of all the executives, which was quite helpful in a sense. Indeed, there are strong indications that some corruption is taking place or was taking place with the Msunduzi municipality. And they gave us a verbal report and promised that within 2 weeks they'll be giving us the actual report of what they found. One of the things they said, they are now going to be pursuing criminal charges. And they are bringing on board the asset forfeiture, the police and so forth. We said we are happy. And I have now signed a letter that will be handed over to them as a complainant after receiving this preliminary report, which will enable the police, the law enforcement, in all have that concrete evidence. And once we have that, we will then be moving against the affected individuals, even at a precautionary level, whilst the process is going on. As IGT, we have proven in the past that no one is beyond reach, whether it's a CEO or a CFO or any senior manager, we have taken action where that was needed. And even in the cases of board members where there could have been potential conflict of interest, we have not hesitated to move. So the CEO will present the report on the Msunduzi municipality and the IGT relationship. I just want to highlight one other thing that became very clear. In the past, there used to be entities that were said to be having strategic partnership with the IGT, something amorphous, rather broad, that seemed to have been all between us or doing some liaison with other companies. And I think our analysis with the investigation coming back, those were some of the gray areas that we took a decision and said anything called strategic partnership, stop it and review it. IGT has to deal with the entities directly. So I will ask the CEO, but the most beautiful thing about this exercise is whilst Msunduzi municipality is doing its own investigation, whilst there are other investigations, IGT initiated the investigation once they received the information. And we will be happy to share it with any other law enforcement entity so that the people responsible are taken to task. Thank you very much. I'll ask the CEO, Dr. Bopagate, to make the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Board. Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable members, good morning. Also recognize the Deputy Minister, the DG, senior executives from the department, and my colleagues from IBT. I am going to just give you a background on the relationship between IBT, Msunduzi municipality, as well as the implementing agents that were involved in the project. When we received the invitation, Chairperson, we had to mull over it in terms of how we approach this briefing to the committee, given that the nitty-gritty and the detail of the issues have not yet presented to us by the investigators. I do realize that at the right time there will be probably an opportunity to do so once also we have been able to brief, or rather the board has been able to look into the findings in detail and also engage with the ministry around the issue. So pardon us if we may fall short of the expectation, because we cannot speculate on a matter like this, but safe to say, as the chairperson indicated, any consequence management that may have to ensue once the report is to hand will immediately be affected by us. We are dealing with a historical issue, but I think it's going to be important for us to act decisively in order to ensure that going forward we have all cleaned up the administration. Chair, there are a few slides that I'm going to take the members through. I would like to go straight to slide number 4, because other slides just deal with the purpose of why we are here. I think we all know now that we are here to brief you on the alleged irregularities that cropped up and how this arrangement between ourselves and the municipality of Msunduzi started. Perhaps let me say to the committee, IDT is an implementing agent of government. We work with national, provincial, and local government in implementing social infrastructure programs in the main, but also we do implement government programs that are related to infrastructure, not necessarily social infrastructure per se only. Although recently the board has taken the view that the priority should be social infrastructure, that is building schools, building hospitals, clinics, etc. We have also, in terms of the delegation of authority framework, the board would have to approve any other program that is outside what is regarded as the mandate on infrastructure. I'm giving this background because later on you'll realize why I'm just touching on it. So in this instance, IDT entered into an agreement with the KZN government through the Department of Education in March 2011, that is a way of background, to assist in eradicating backlogs in the electrification of schools under the Special Schools Infrastructure Program. As we implement social infrastructure, just want to highlight this. You are looking at development in a comprehensive way. Most of the schools we build or we upgrade, you find that especially those in the outskirts of the country or in rural areas, you'll find that they do not have water, proper water and sanitation, and in some instances there is no electrification. So we usually assist in terms of working closely with the municipalities that are responsible for provision of those basic services. So in this instance, the focus was to work on the electrification of schools. Now, it was out of this experience that IDT at the time saw the need to expand its services to other clients after a business opportunity was presented. You may underline that a business opportunity was presented to it by a company that later worked in partnership with IDT at the time in the name of Take Note Trading. Now, this was an opportunity at the time I think IDT saw as part of generating more business, because IDT charges a management fee, or you call a service fee for the services that it renders. So on the 30th of December 2011, the Msunduzi local municipality appointed IDT as an implementing agent for the electrification program, which actually was a program that was earmarked for about, if I'm not mistaken, 9 municipalities from a grant that was coming from the Department of Energy. I would assume that perhaps, this is the mistake I always make. I'm on slide number 5, my apology. The real purpose of sitting here was to move the slides. Now my now the initial contract or MOA, Memorandum of Agreement, that was signed with the municipality, which was concluded at the beginning of 2012. I think it was March 2012 when IDT signed and the other party signed a few months later, but it was during 2012 when the agreement was signed. Now, the scope of work included, but not limited to, maintenance and new installation. This covered a range of services, including refurbishment of aging infrastructure, street lighting, household electrification, solar power street lighting, traffic lights, beautification as part of the urban renewal program. Now, initially, the amount that was allocated for the program was about 100 million, which was part of the electrification program funded by the Department of Energy through a grant. But there was also an addendum that was concluded to include other related programs. For instance, the urban renewal program, as well as the program related to upgrading of, construction of a cemetery, and also fixing of pavement, was included in the program through an addendum. And these were actually funded from different sources, including Department of Transport, but also the others were funded from other sources, from the local municipality. So the total budget overall for the program was 489 million. Of this amount, at the time the contract was terminated by the municipality, this expenditure stood at 290 million. That 290 million included the management fee that was paid to IDT. Now, in terms of the contractual arrangement, this company called Techno Trading was appointed by IDT as a strategic partner through a single sourcing arrangement. A single sourcing arrangement requires that you ask or you obtain a deviation in terms of the relevant section of the PFMA and the Treasury regulation. Now, if you look at the circumstances, such deviation usually is obtained for single sourcing when there is no other service provider that is able to provide that particular service, or the nature of the service itself is so specialized that you would probably not be able to source it from any other service provider economically. But also, if there is a mutual beneficiation, what I mean by that, if there is a partnership where there is going to be a particular reason why you would pick on a particular service provider, it's usually a matter that should be considered by the relevant authority or the bid adjudication committee. So I think the motivation in this instance was that IDT, you come into a partnership with us, we will generate business for you, which you dearly looking for. Business generation basically was to say you will be able to secure a business and will then be able to charge a business generation fee out of that. So the agreement after this proposal was approved by the Tender Adjudication Committee in July 2011 was that the TNT would receive 3% of the management fee as a business generation fee for them. Now, IDT would get 10% of the management fee for the implementation of the program. So it's 3% of that 10%. Just want that to be understood. And then on top of that, TNT was appointed as a program management to provide professional services and assist in the management of the program. And they were to charge 1% of the program value, which effectively means if the program is 489, then there will be the fee that would be payable would be 1% of that. So whatever would have been spent would have been 1% of program value, because IDT won 10% of program value. But this amount is supposed to be paid out of the, because they are the strategic partner of IDT, of the 10% overall management fee charged by IDT. Right, after the SLA was signed, I've already indicated the IDT fee arrangement. There was a service level agreement that was entered into with TNT, now as a strategic partner. We had an MOU with the municipality, and then there was an SLA entered to with the TNT project, where it would then be paid this 3% management as a business generation fee. A portion of this fee would be payable to TNT as and when the client pays the IDT its management fee, as I indicated. And then TNT projects would be paid in an amount of 1% of the program value. Now, coming to the issue of implementation. During the implementation, there was, I think the chairperson indicated that there was this partnership with Treasury in terms of the forensic work that Treasury had to do on other projects that were reported through the hotline. There was then a whistleblower through crime intelligence who really informed Treasury about the issues around the relationship between IDT and the Msunduzi local municipality. And that's when then the board referred the matter to Treasury as part of the investigation. Now, since then, there were then issues or problems as the board was following up on the matters, and then the Msunduzi municipality also, after there was a new election, though, but there was a change in leadership, they started raising a number of questions around the program. And therefore, in November 2014, the contract between, or the MOA between IDT and the municipality was terminated, and all the documents or contracts that were currently running were ceded back to the municipality. We have also just circulated for information the status of work in progress at the time of termination of the program. There is an annexure that has been circulated. If you have this document, yes, it shows the status quo on progress on the various elements of the program. The first one being the electrification program, and then followed by the provincial urban renewal program, which was focusing more on the symmetry. I must say that there were challenges also with regard to the implementation of that program of the symmetry, relating to issues of location, but we are waiting for more detail in the actual report that will be presented by Treasury in terms of what the form and nature of those challenges were. But we do know that it's part of the challenges that caused the symmetry not to be completed. Also, there was the Integrated Rapid Public Transport Network program, which was funded out of funds from the Department of Transport. and then it also shows the stage of completion of that program. And also the street lighting program, and lastly the beautification program, which was largely the upgrading of pavements and other streets in within Pietermaritzburg and Sundbury Municipality. On slide 10, this just captures the summary of what I already indicated. There were these irregularities that were reported on the project. This actually led to the termination of the MOA in November 2014. The procurement process followed in the acquisition of services of TNT. This matter is the matter that was raised, which the investigators will be briefing us in detail, because the normal process or procedure is to go on an open tender process when you acquire the services of an implementing service provider. So in this instance, our single sources for TNT, which is a matter that is going to be pursued with the relevant officials who were involved at the time. Now, I must say that the view that has been taken by IDT leadership currently is that those people who have probably in the intervening period left the organization will also be pursued, hence the chairperson was talking about signing some papers for possible criminal action against those people. The National Treasury is working together with all the agencies of the state that are dealing with such kind of matters, law enforcement agencies. Now, the IDT board, I've indicated that it has already entered into that contract with Treasury, and then the report is expected in the next week or two. As soon as the report is received, there will be a detailed interrogation of the outcome, and then a relevant action will be taken. Now, the action here is not taken only by IDT. There are matters that will be pursued criminally, but there are matters that might be pursued internally through internal disciplinary processes. The nature and magnitude of the findings will guide us in terms of moving forward. Chair and honourable members, this concludes my presentation, and I would like you to note the report for now, but also note that the actual forensic report is being finalized, and as soon as it is finalized, the board will consider the findings and also engage the ministry in terms of the action that it will be taking going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CEO. Know
that it didn't go out to tender, that, I mean, is there some other company saying, but I wanted to tender for that and I wasn't allowed to? Does anyone else know about the fact that actually it was just granted to TNT as opposed to going out on an official tender? The incorrect management fee charged on the project. Now, it's made very clear that 10% goes to IDT, of that 3% is going to these people. What is the normal, if it is an incorrect management fee, what is the norm? What do you normally charge for a project for the IDT services? And if you hire someone else as a managing company, what do you normally pay them? Or indeed, was this all determined? Yes, they would get 3% of that, and then somebody gave them something else altogether, which would be then the criminal activity. I just want clarification on that one. The overpayments to TNT in relation to their fees, I trust whoever did that has been suspended and doesn't still have their ability to transfer monies from anywhere, because that would be a huge issue. I have a bit of a problem with your conclusion, saying, look, just note this. I think the Portfolio Committee is actually a very powerful body, and I kind of feel like you're saying, well, we're just going to tell you about this, now go away. And if we feel like showing you eventually any report by anybody, we may deem to do that, because there's no mention of bringing the Treasury report here or bringing any other report before this committee. And I find that quite annoying, frankly. If you can just give us, it seems of all of these, there are many programs that you're involved in. Do all of these fall under this one program run by or overseen by TNT, or is it just a section of these? Is it just clarify for me which of all these programs fall under that, the scope of the project, and then the timelines are a bit vague for me. When exactly did it start, and when exactly was it terminated? And then your contractors, I'm presuming now, as what happens normally, is that TNT then contracted a number of people to do the actual construction work. Are they all now sitting unpaid? Do you have small companies going under because of this? And that is a huge concern, because small companies can fall if they're not paid for a single, I know one man who killed himself, so I'm quite sensitive about this. They're not paid, and their business goes under, and their lives are destroyed. So I'd like to know who's waiting on money from whom. Thank you.
IDT and Technos Trading having the memorandum of understanding. But to me, there is no clear role for IDT in the electrification project. What was their real role? I really don't see their actual role in that particular matter. Maybe it can be unpacked. And also the concern, because we are talking about the policy of the government for 30 days payment of the contractor. But here it shows that there are so many contractors that were not paid. We want to know how much is being owed to those particular contractors and how many they are. Because it will tell us the progress that we have around the payment of the contractors. And also, one is aware that this particular matter was investigated because the member of ESCO of the municipality of Umsunduzi raised this thing that it must be investigated. Otherwise, it was not going to be safe. nothing if he did not raise the particular matter. What one wants to also check is that what was my colleague has covered me on the duration, starting time of that project and the ending time of that particular project. And also I want to know, you indicated that you appointed the forensic investigation with the name of Bobot, if I'm not mistaken. What was the scope of the work of them, and how much was paid to them? Because seemingly it's like they did the work. After they had done the work, it was found that, no, it's deeper than we thought. It means to say that on the specification, you underestimated the challenge that is in that particular investigation. How much was it paid? And also the recommendation that one sees on that particular forensic investigating company is just to say, go deeper. What were other recommendations that were coming regarding the actual, which is alleged irregularities and corruption in that particular matter? They did not look in that particular matter. They just look, it's like they look at it and say, hey, no, it's big. Get somebody else to look at it. You know, I want just to get that one. And also because it looked like it's a long project from 2011 signing, and it's now 2017. That's why we want to know the duration, the actual duration of that project, because our understanding is that the municipality terminated the contract because there was this challenge of the 100 million that was missing. Hence, they said, no, we canceled the contract, because that 100 million was sitting with IDT, not paid on the contractors and so on and so forth. Maybe you can give us so that we can really understand the challenge of this, because when we go to the constituencies, we need really to clarify these things, because it is a problem. And this thing of the single sourcing arrangements, single sourcing arrangements, really, to me, I think my colleague touched on it, it was not clear to me. Single sourcing, what does it mean? They just appointed this techno trading. It was not advertised. What really happened? Because if you say single sourcing, it's like, as the presenter was indicating, CEO, to say that usually it is happening if there is no other service provider with that particular service. And then you, it's like head-hunting. You head-hunt that particular company. Maybe it can be clarified so that we can go deeper on that particular matter, because our concerns, you know, from 2011, you know, you look at the electrification, you know, this is like informal settlement, this one. It's 5% complete. 5% complete. 39% complete. After, it's more than 6 years now. More than 6 years, 5 years, 5% finished. If you look all these things here, it's really a concern to us as members of this committee to say that seemingly those people that have done that, their head must roll. It must really roll. We can't tolerate the corruption. We can't. Today we are in a challenge of inequality, unemployment, poverty, because of these people that are milking the state. And as public representatives, it's like we are just looking, you know. We have no teeth even to bite, because at some stage we don't go to the corner of those particular corruption that are taking place. No, I think we appreciate that we have this report. We are waiting the Treasury to come up with the final report, and then we'll look at it as the recommendation is that we know. But we note with a great concern, really, to see this corruption and the services not going to the people on the ground. And people are doing on the ground of the services, but there are people that are milking the state. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairman, and the presentation. That's why we appreciate the presentation. Chairman, my first complaint is that the IDP entered into agreement with KZN in 2019. The province, not the municipality. The municipality is under KZN. But I didn't hear any role that has been played by the KZN in the province. Department of for Communication, nothing. There's nothing that has been said and highlighted about this. So now I want to find out actually what the role has they played in this in this scenario of corruption. And the other chairperson that I want to understand is that one of all the umsundus in the municipality. The communities that have been affected by this corruption. It's supposed to get the services. What is happening now? Because it seems that there's nothing that is happening now. Because all the other programs show that you are under 75% complete the job that you deserve. Now, what is happening now to those schools that are supposed to be contracted? So I want to find out. And then, if I get some clarity on this one person, I didn't hear. The IDP is supposed to be at 10%. But then now we are talking about 1%. What is the 1%? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Masera.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, the Deputy Minister, Honorable Members, and members from the IDP. Honorable Chair, IDT, I think it's high time that we must now graduate from being this notorious identity that the unpaid people. That is what is happening on the ground. There are many projects, and I know it's because we don't do the work on our own as IDT. We get some contractors to do the work for us. And some of them, they don't even pay the people they are working with. They will say we are not paid by IDT, and some of them will be using this as a scapegoat because they are aware that they are those challenges. Maybe they've been paid, it's just that they don't want to pay the people who are working under them. At Masikhlong, in Molemola Municipality, they've got a project which is dealing with removal of aluminium plants. And that project, most of those people who worked with it, they were never paid. It's now over a year, they were never paid. Because the person who's a contractor, they say, IDT did not pay. So you don't know who's really telling the truth there. So we need from now onwards, this is an eye-opener to make sure that the people who are working with are really honest. They are people who know their work and they will do the work to the left. When the presenter was presenting, Honorable Chair, he talked about 9 municipalities. What is happening to the 8? Because now we are concentrating on this one, which is this. But you mentioned something like 9 municipalities. Are the others everything going well in them? There is this 10% issue. I know somebody did want clarity out of it. I just want to give it more clarity. Does it mean the 3% and the 1% mentioned here, it comes out of the 10%, meaning that the IDT will now remain with 6%, or what is it, if you can clarify us on that one? Still on that, Honorable Chair, it is really disappointing to realize that the whole project, although it has been mentioned several times, the whole project which started in 2012, only after the election in 2016, August, that the new leadership terminated the project, and terminating it while it is not even finished. Meaning therefore that for the whole 5 years, we could not finish any of those projects that were given. because there is not even one here which says 100% finished. All of them, they are unfinished. So we are really concerned about that one. We just hope once the National Treasury has finished with the investigation, we'll be furnished with all the information so that we know what actually happened. Otherwise, we thank you so much for the presentation of the nature, because it's really assisting us. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Marcelo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think most of my questions have been covered by my colleagues. The rest, I still have a list that is who I have come to.
Can you use the mic?
So, I said thank you for presentation, department. And most of my questions have been covered by my colleagues. But I just need clarity on some of the issues. On page 6. The bill of the project was 4,489,000,000. And the bulk of this amount was spent, and unspent funds amounting of 2,000,000 were refunded to the condition management. Actually, I'm a little bit lost because they said the problem here, the challenge here is money. What happened to that money? 208 million. I need clarity on that. The second one is technical. There's a lot of road fares in this municipality. TNT 77. IDT, also condition municipality. And we don't have a timeline. Also the scope of work. What is it they're doing? No, I'm a little bit, I don't understand what is happening. For instance, we need to consider, as a portfolio committee, we need to consider the scope. What was the scope of the project? When did the project start? And what was the estimated duration? How many contractors formed part of the project? How much were the contractors owed and over what period? A concern here is management. Who has been managing all these projects? Because we cannot allow ourselves to be in this that every day question of corruption. We just looking at the government. Just we don't know what we're doing here. Can you clarify us, please? Thank you.
Yeah, if I could just ask for clarification. Thank you. If you could just clarify me, on slide 6, there is a figure of 208,850,92. So it's supposed to either be, either the comma should be a full stop, and it's 208,000, or there's a digit missing at the end. I wasn't sure if it was 208 million, or with a digit missing, or if it's full stop, that comma should be a full stop. I wonder if you could clarify that. And I have to tell you, I'm looking at the website for this TNT. There are two men on here, that's it. The latest project, it says, was in 2002, installation of optic fiber cable, C-A-B-B-L-E. Now, we gave a multi-quadrillion rand project to these two gentlemen. The latest project was 2 decades ago. I'm quite stunned that this went on. Good heavens. Not acceptable.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for the questions. I think I want to start with providing a context. IDT has handled up to 7 billion worth of projects. That you do have rotten apples, which are not excusable. You should not create an impression that everything we touch turns into corruption. You go to Limpopo, you'll see the high court there, the first one since 1994. You go to Mpumalanga, you see the hospitals and so forth, and we've physically visited some of the projects. So I want to lay that as a context to say that not everything we touch. That's why we've been encouraging members of the committee to visit most of our projects and even independently ask people on the ground, the structure, the standing. But out of that, you do have projects which go so wrong, like the Msunduzi one. And we do not want to have any excuse for it, whether it was 1%, it's 1% of taxpayers' money. The second point is, as the CEO was saying, we're dealing with legacy issues. Seated around this table, none of us were there when these agreements were entered into. Not the chairperson of the Audit and Risk Committee, not myself, not the CEO. We inherited some arrangements which were in place, and we immediately detected that there were corrupt activities. And that we indicated, that's why a year later we launched an operation which was anti-corruption campaign. And we addressed the SAP every year to say, among other things, our zero tolerance for corruption is a primary goal, because we're handling public funds and we need to earn credibility by so doing. The third point I want to raise, which we have now addressed, IDT seems to have been everything to everybody. From ordering washing machines to ordering oncology, equipment and so forth. And that, to me, created a scope for corruption, because we did not focus just on the social infrastructure and stick to it. We wanted to be everything to everybody, a one-stop shop without specializing. So we are in a process of streamlining now, because if you are not a medical specialist, very difficult to write a spec for any project to procure machines in that space. You have to get another person who has to advise you and so forth, and through that process you lose any control over the project. So that is one of the things that we are doing. We could not detect this, honorable member, precisely because we got into the system. The trigger point that led us to have the forensic investigation was just one contract with Navigant, when a whistleblower told us that the former CEO has this relationship with Navigant. And since we were not extending her contract as a CEO beyond the 10 years, a farewell was being arranged for 7 million. That's all what triggered. That's all what triggered this. And then we called the executive to say, we hear that we are struggling with funds, and yet there is this kind of thing. So it was just very specific. And other things, such as the regional manager we had in Gauteng, had in the internet, we were told, been in some stealing of NGO money in Swaziland. And then we said, has the person disclosed this? And again, we realized that. So at that moment, we realized that a significant number of executives were working with these particular arrangements. And everything was being hidden from us. A simple matter like executives, we call all of them, who signed this contract with Navigant where 7 million was going to be spent? Because at that moment we realized before any work was done, 4 million was already deposited. So that was our induction to ICT. Then we knew that we were facing a serious situation. So unlike other board members who settle down and have time to do other things, in fact, I was jokingly saying the first day I came to IGT, it was 3 weeks as the new chairperson. I experienced something that I had never seen in any board before. I had chaired some boards. That the chairperson of the board would be fetched with a Range Rover from home as a shuttle. A driver would be flown to where I was going. I said, I'm not going to wait for any board meeting. This thing has to stop. I was told that the CEO also has a personal driver, and the driver is flown into the other side. When I then called the CEO, I was told that it has always been the tradition. They gave me a list of previous chairs of boards and so forth. So it was in the DNA of the institution that people didn't realize. We immediately stopped even business travel. We said, you can't be saying I want a bailout and say the chair or the CEO or anybody travels business. We stopped all those things. And we knew that we were in for a fight. That is the environment we dealt with. Everything was being hidden. The whistleblower, for example, said 18 million has been paid to two BNBs. He said, but we're not in the business of dealing with BNBs. We called again the executives, we abused the chair of audit and risk because no answer was coming. We said, can you investigate this thing? They said, no, we can never ever pay that money. Then we said, can you give us a printout of your transactions during the month of April 2014? That's when we saw that while the mini BNB and the other ones, one had received 9 million, the other one had received something, so forth. So that's when we then said, let's start a forensic investigation, because it's clear that there is criminality involved. So Lucy at that time is not even in our radar screen. But we now knew what we were dealing with. It is for that reason that the same Navigant, when we were told they were strategic partners, they would do the single sourcing, they were one-stop shop, not when they are the ones who are involved in the investigation of 7 million, farewell. So we froze such strategic partners. So, honorable members, the point I'm trying to make here is that we were dealing with an organized syndicated crime. And this happened to be one of them. And it was not easy to fight this particular virus. And we also appreciate the support that we received from the department, because we went to brief the department to say, we are facing challenges of this nature. IGT has a great potential, it does great things, however, this runs a risk of destroying the very fiber of IGT. So, once we have the report, of course, we did brief when we were in Johannesburg and before the members that Another thing that happened to us, which was quite strange, soon after we had arrived, was this push that there needed to be a new IT system. Said, but why there was such urgency? We were told that, you know, if we don't do it by December, the world might just collapse. And reluctantly, we said, okay, that's fine, the motivation was nice. When the investigation comes later, it became very clear that they had realized that the new board was just sleeping on everything, and they could not catch up trying to correct records. They needed to destroy evidence. And that's what the forensic investigators also discovered. So in the preliminary report on Msunduzi, it is said that officials within the municipality and officials within IGT seem to have colluded. I'll just go that far, because when the report is available, we'll come to the department, we'll come to the portfolio committee, because see us as partners in fighting this criminality. We are open to that once the investigation is completed and we have a report. Nothing will be hidden. And we have no holy cows, we have no one that we have to shield in the process. That's why we've given them a blank slate to say, whoever you find, charge and take action. My colleagues then will assist with the specifics in terms of figures, for example, for the seizure of a bottle. Indeed, when they indicated how much it would be if they went deeper, we said we don't have the money for this. But we want to have a sense. Out of the investigation, we're able to prosecute, in part, the former CFO and other officials over the number of matters.
I just want to, yes, good morning, Chair and Honorable. I just want to touch on a question that came from Honorable Matoko regarding. Okay, before we get to that, I just want to confirm something that the chair has indicated in terms of the IT system implementation, which has actually led to IGT to be in a different position. Chair, I need to indicate that there was no go ahead that was given by the board at any given point in time, because I had done a risk assessment. And I communicated with the CEO there to assess what types of changes that were being done and what the impact was. And we differed greatly, and we advised the board that the system implementation should not be given a thumbs up, because proper processes of system implementation, a simple sensitive assessment was not there for us. And therefore, the board did take that decision, that was appropriate, and I know that that has been tested many times. But for whatever reason, the culture that was at the IGT, management never listened to the board. Decisions that were taken by the board on implementation, as long as management felt needed to do something they did. Specifically, this IT system implementation, and the CFO went ahead and did the system implementation. Moreover, the reasons behind me recommending for the implementation led to be done was also that the timing of system implementation was very wrong. Therefore, for any CFO to have chosen quarter four to do a system implementation, that was just not so crucial. So I just wanted to clarify that area. So there was no particular goal ahead that was given until we hit the problems that we did. Okay, coming to the question with regards to Roboto, yes. Roboto was appointed appropriately by the IGT under the directive of the board to investigate the procurement processes that were followed
for the many suppliers, major suppliers that we have. So in general, we're looking at the governance compliance around procurement processes. We do not have a specific, with specific supplier in mind, which was Navigant, because we were aware that Navigant was, it seems lots of tenders were channeled through Navigant, but we do not know to what extent and what the intent was. The only thing we know about Navigant was that it was the sole supplier for the event of the CEO farewell, etc. But then the amount, that was basically the scope. Therefore, the amount, I do not remember top of the head how much it was, but it was not more than 500,000. The investigation actually lasted for about 8 months, and the reason why it took so long, it was also that part of our resistance of coming up with information or getting information from management, and particularly the CEO, the CFO, who was in charge of finance as well as the supply chain management processes. Therefore, many questions and many supporting documentation that was expected from me, it never came through. Until finally, at a point in time, I know they requested for my interjection, where I had to request that the audit be closed because we were going beyond the time frame and it was going to go beyond the budget. The type of investigation we requested from Kobodo was a preliminary investigation. It was not a full-blown investigation because honestly, as the chair and the CEO explained, we're dealing with a syndicated or a collusion. We're dealing with collusion within the sector with the IDC. You speak to one functionality or to one department, the word goes out everywhere so that the gaps and the loops, you know, actually close for an eye to could see. Even when proper scratching happened, could not happen. So we asked Kobodo just to scratch the surface, test certain processes, test what happened on Navigant in terms of internal controls, procedures of procurement, whether they were followed, etc. The primary investigation, at the time it was given, it then identified the following. I'm trying to get to my notes just to give it a translation of what was identified. Yes, that Navigant was not properly procured. It was procured as a sole sourcing, a one-stop shop for strategic implementations, employee relations. It was all sort of mingle mush in terms of the scope. And the scope was not very clear, but it was given a platform where anything and anything which was an opportunity for it to pick and grab. The particular contract would allow them to do so. And in looming into the contract, when we reviewed the contract, it was quite evident as well that the contract, one, was prepared by Navigant, and it was just endorsed in signature by management at the IDC, and therefore it had no hold in protecting the IDC at all. And the investigation also identified three health clinics that came from the KZN Health Department, that there was something wrong in those areas. And during the investigation by Kobodo, there was all, because we did announce to the IDC that we are embarking on an investigation, therefore the whistleblowing actually expanded and grew. So as the investigation was going, some of the whistleblowing, they coincided with the work that was done. That's what we picked up, that there were three clinics at the KZN that needed to be investigated. And there was also an implementation of the theater equipment, etc., which whistleblowing, as well as the report highlighted that there were shenanigans around those areas. There was also the issue of library. There was a library that was built. They called it Vulameso Library. I don't know exactly where in KZN, but it's all the region of KZN. That was a library that was not taking place, and but the money were actually being paid. There were payments that were being made around those areas. And then lastly, another big one that actually led to the coincidence of the investigation internally and externally of the mobile classroom being implemented by the IDTs through a particular supplier. So those were the ones that were actually pulled out by the Kobodo investigation. And there were other issues such as within the executive management, wrongdoing, which we actually found, and those executives were actually put through the disciplinary process. As if that was not enough, performing and having received disciplinary reports and embarking on an internal process of disciplinary hearings. The whistleblowing, as we said earlier, was actually expanding. And then there was also issues around the Department of Correctional Services, which was not identified by us as the IDT. It was also an investigation by the department itself. But when we came in, having got the full investigation, pulling in the specialized audit services of the National Treasury, they were then opening up to indicate that other than what you are asking us to do, there are others, and you are allowing us space so that we can go into IDT and see from the IDT side as to exactly what is actually taking place. So those are the five areas that were identified and were dealt with. And to be honest, some of the whistleblowing and some of the highlights that came out from the investigation, they ended up with proper investigation from the National Treasury, and they cleared the whistleblowing and they cleared the frequency of the payments that were actually made. For argument's sake, you are all aware that the department takes longer to deposit funds into the account. And therefore, when there is that frequent payment being made, and even the staff that does the whistleblowing, and even when the auditors look at the frequency of these huge payments going to a particular supplier, they do raise suspicion, they do raise red flags, and hence they were passed, for scrutiny. But the moment the investigators went onto site, they realized, for argument's sake, that the library was well in progress, it was actually completed, it was awaiting handover. And then the three clinics as well, they were well in order. There was a backlog of payment per se. There was a backlog in terms of they call it snail work, yes, which needed to be performed. So it took a little bit of time for the suppliers to get back there. But then ultimately those areas were actually cleared. The one that was never cleared, which actually led to us to look into the different navigants, is the one that has also been taken over to National Treasury, where the owners of the entity are being charged with criminal with a criminal offense. And then
thank you. Just if you could clarify for me, I've looked through all the documentation, and I maybe missed it. When we started hearing about this entity, company, construction firm, I'm not sure what it is, Navigant,
what is Navigant related to? Because it's not in these documents. Is it another name that somehow they were being called by? How did they, where did they come in relation to this entire matter? And I presume they're also under investigation. Please just explain, and also please don't forget that clarification of that figure I asked for. Thank you.
Yes. The name Navigant,
yeah.
As the chairperson already has been explaining, for us to have embarked on a forensic investigation, there was this entity who had to repay a particular figure for the execution of a farewell. That's the particular Navigant we're talking to. So on scrutiny in terms of the scope, that's why I indicate that when we scrutinize the management made the board to understand that it was only doing that particular function. But when we requested for the contract, we then realized that they've been given a blanket scope so they can do anything and anything. That's the reason why I said they could even do a strategy, for argument's sake, for the entity. So that's where that event comes in.
This is jail time, people. Jail time.
And,
I think with the Navigant situation, just to add, we also stumbled on the Navigant thing. Whilst it was farewell, we realized that the 150 million bailout from Treasury, much of it just went to Navigant. So when we asked exactly what did they do, they said workshops, facilitation, advice, and we asked where is the proof and the relationship to the work done. Up to this day, that's why we took Navigant to court on some of these issues, and there is now this particular charging that is going to take place. But it is not related to Msunduzi. It's a different, it just was an eye-opener for us, or part of induction.
So that was basically the scope of the National Treasury when we transferred our investigations into their hands. They therefore zoomed into the mobile classroom KZN implementation, and in the interim there was also an external investigation on the Msunduzi. They then also started the investigation of Msunduzi on the projects that were implemented by the IDT. And as the CEO highlighted, there were about five projects. And if I'm not mistaken, CEO, you'll clarify again. How we came into conjunction with the PNG, it was the partnership agreement. But it started off at an educational level where we were providing services to the Department of Education. And then when there was an opportunity of this businessman who was looking for government opportunity, that's when the agreement was actually happening, which was known by the few that it was known to. And hence there was a juncture into the electrification, the cemetery cleaning and upgrading, and then the bus rapid services, and the PRP program, and electricity renewal also, which was around those areas. And you asked, I think, specifically as to how much were each of those. I think for the electrification of the housing within the Msunduzi municipality was about 100 million on the budget of Msunduzi that was contracted. And when it comes to cemetery, I think there was about 9.8, because I have not seen the report as yet. I'm reporting from what I've taken notes when we were given a high-level overview of what has been picked up on these. So these figures could change when we get the report, because the report will have to exact to the last cent. And then the IPTS was about 50 million that was set aside, and then the PURP program was about 38 million. And all in all, that's the reason why we have the on page, the 290 million is what was transferred to the municipality for all these projects, despite the fact that the entire program that IDT or budget that IDT would have been given access to was 498 million. But of the 498 million, only 290 was already transferred for all these projects.
I've found Navigant. They've got you down as one of their clients all over. You might want to get them to remove that. They also have the Department of Transport, Social Development, a second lot of the DTI, a whole pile of government business. So not only are they creaming it from you guys, it's actually, they obviously got a huge foothold within government overall. So I think instead of dealing with this in a silo, you might want to talk to us. Just look on their, you can see who the others are, just look on their website, because they're proudly advertising that you are their client, and meanwhile you're taking them to court. So you might have a word about that. But others are being nailed, and probably exactly the same experience you've had, is my guess.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. Thank you to my bosses, Chair and the Chair of Arts. Chair, I want to. Oh, okay. I will just answer specific questions. I think that came from the members relating to the program, just to embellish the points made by the Chair of the Board and the Chair of ARCO. Let me start with Honorable Stoll. I think the issue we're raising just about Department of Education on rolling out education in schools, there was no irregularities reported there. I mean, we have a good relationship programs with Department of Education. I think what we are just saying is that IDT is not specializing in electrification programs. Hence, you will see that when IDT made the proposal to Msunduzi, they needed the so-called specialists to assist them with the implementation. Hence, they procured the service of TNT, which I think from the initial reports that are coming, we still need to get it detailed. They're not even a specialist in electricity themselves, in electrification. So the members must understand this was a scheme. So some of the questions you're raising are exact questions we asked and the board has asked, hence we got into Treasury digging into the whole thing. But the Department of Education and the province is not necessarily part of this Msunduzi program. We then, I think, when the board took over and when I came in myself, we had to discuss what exactly is IDT specializing on, because we had all sort of problems. As the chair was indicating, you know, industrial equipment, you know, oncology equipment, and so on. So we said, no. Let's, because we do have engineers and built environment specialists that they are focusing on, you know, the brick and mortar that is building, you know, construction, not all the other things. So that answers the question about the Department of Education. Now, I just want also to move to Honorable Kola Banner's question. Now, if you look at the issue of who has been found on the wrong side in the procurement, at the time, the officials of IDT believed that they are doing the right thing because they thought they had a reasonable explanation to the TAC of why they should go to single sourcing. But if you look at the nature of the transaction, that is why we believe it is irregular, because it should have gone on an open tender process so that you get the right skills to do the work. Now, what is happening is that every official that will be cited in the report, present and past, will have to come in account. Those who have left the organization, they will be followed through criminal process. Those who are still with the, if any of those are still in the organization, whether at the head office or regional office, they will be immediately dealt with harshly. That's basically the zero tolerance that the board was talking about. Now, in terms of, that deals with the question how it was not picked up. It was not necessarily something that was not picked up. It's something that was done deliberately because the procurement was done through a single sourcing and it was going through the processes, but at the time they had this motivation, which in hindsight now, as we came in and look at this transaction, that was an error on their side because we believe it should have been an open process. What is the amount, what is the normal fee? Now, the overpayment comes here in two ways. The 10% that is charged is the maximum fee that IDT currently charges in terms of the treasury instruction note. Now, there's one thing that I want to say. The instruction note by Treasury was issued in September 2014. What it says, it gives a range of rates that you can charge depending on the size of the program. The smaller the contract, the higher the fee. The mega project and the bigger the project, the higher, the lower the rate. So the rates range from about 4% to 10%. I think that's about 3.5 to 10%. So if you look at this transaction, it's quite a big program. It has about 489 or, for we can just say, round up to 490 million. So ordinarily, you wouldn't charge a fee of up to 10%. You would charge quite low. Our view is that the reason it was set at 10% was to accommodate this strategic partner. Now, coming to your question again in terms of understanding the 10%, the 1% and so on. 10% of the program, let's say 10% of 489, that would be 48.9 million. If we were to implement the whole program, that would be the maximum fee to IDT. Now, the 1% of the program, which is project management fee for the TNT, is not supposed to be charged out of the municipality. It's supposed to be charged in terms of the agreement between IDT and TNT. Remember, they have their own implementation agreement to say, come and assist me to implement this program. So that 1% is supposed to come out of management fee of IDT, including the 3% business generation fee, must come out of the 48 million out of IDT. Now, what happened is it was charged directly to the municipality out of the program fund. That's where the overpayment comes in, right? Yes, that's where the overpayment comes in. So we are going to be following up all that, all the reconciliation once the report is to hand, because the report is now being finalized. So there will be a clear reconciliation of this process. Now, in terms of, I dealt with the issues of the people who paid, whether it was dealt with. In fact, the first thing the board did was to deal with the CFO at the time. Not even at this part, it was as part of the Navigant project. So the CFO was fired in December 2015, the former CEO who was involved. So all the officials who were cited in the Navigant process were also fired, were also dealt with. The anyone who comes, whose name appears now in this new report, will also be dealt with. And that's basically the issue at the time.
And we're recovering the money.
Yes. We are actually pursuing the recovery of the money.
I'm driving around with Porsches while you have to go and get a bailout.
Now, the timeline on this, the timelines on the actual MOA were a bit vague. But I was clarified because there were two questions that came up. We are in 2017 now. Why this program is taking too long? No, even before elections, the local election in 2016, This program was terminated by the municipal manager in 2014. I think in my slides I indicated that. After the investigation started, then they began to panic, and they realized that now, you know, they are exposed. So there was termination. So it did not continue after the termination date. So since 2014, it has not continued. Hence, if you look at the work in progress, you see some of very few were completed. Some of the work was either at 75% complete, some at 10%, some at 5%, depending on which program you're talking about. Now, I want to say this. Last year, on 1st of January, we appointed the new CFO. There has been a number of new people in finance who are qualified. We also had consultants, accounting firms that came to assist us. We are doing a comprehensive reconciliation. We would like to encourage people who are claiming not to have been paid by IDT to please come forward, because we are reconciling every cent for all the client departments. And I know that in KZN, there's been contractors that would come and say, 3 years ago, we were not paid by IDT. IDT is owing me 9 million. IDT is owing me this. So we say they must come forward, because we are busy with this reconciliation. It was part of what we were cleaning up in terms of the financial disclaimer by the Auditor General was linked to the issue of reconciliation. So we will be able to deal with that. But in the report, we have asked National Treasury to say, give us specifically all the contractors that were appointed by IDT under this program as you were doing the investigation, so that we can verify with our records and we will deal with that accordingly. The scope of work of Koboto, I think the chair of audit committee has indicated that. Maybe I can just clarify once again to say Koboto did the preliminary investigation and their payment was within that scope. But when the matter was referred to Treasury, Treasury already had a contract with Koboto. So they continued using Koboto. But now they were paid by the Office of the Accountant General, not IDT. That's where the chairperson says, we were not having enough funds. Hence, the board said to Treasury, please do assist us because we want this investigation done. So Koboto is still at the center of the investigation, but now under the auspices of National Treasury Investigating Unit, I think they call it Audit Investigating Unit.
So nothing was paid by IDT?
No, we paid. I think she was saying about not more than 500. We can verify the figure in terms of how much we actually paid for the services they rendered to IDT. Now, the issue of the 100 million that is missing from Sunduzi. We do know that if you looked at the electrification program, we do know that not everything was delivered. Maybe that's why there's that term that is used. The way it is, IDT, when it's implementing programs, it gets transferred from the client. Then once you do the work, you actually have to pay. You then give the report to the client in terms of who was appointed and how much was paid. So that's the reconciliation. Then the municipality said not every cent was accounted for. That's basically what they're saying. In fact, they have already now declared a dispute between IDT and themselves, which is a matter that fortunately the board has already resolved, that there will be ongoing bilateral engagement with the municipality, because we all want to clean up this thing. But we just want to establish all the facts, reconcile the figures to the last cent, deal with all the consequential action that needed to be taken. So I hope we have put to bed the issue of why the program has not been completed in 2017, which was started in 2012, because I think in 2014, halfway, it was terminated after all the investigation were completed. Now, I think it was just the last few questions. I think we support the view from the members. In fact, we have already taken that stance. that the issue of non-payment of suppliers or contractors is something we are dealing with. It's one of our focus areas. In fact, some of those who may not have been paid because we have not received transfers from the department, I think it's part of the list that the chairperson raised earlier that we must assist the members with. Now, the issue of nine municipalities, I want to clarify this. IDT dealt with Msunduzi municipality. I was just highlighting that Msunduzi was part of the nine municipalities that were targeted to receive the grant from energy department. Otherwise, it's not like all of them were involved. We do hear, though, that there might have been additional municipalities that might have been worked with this TNT, but they were doing that as TNT. They might have abused the name of IDT in the process, but it was not part of the MOA with the Msundus. Now, I think that deals with that question of other municipalities. The other sources of funding were from MIG, that is Municipal Infrastructure Grant, as well as Department of Transport. I think that breakdown we will provide as soon as we get the numbers from the report. Of course, for now, we just need to give you, but we do know the total was 489 million. But that breakdown we'll be able to give. So I just want again to clarify the difference between, I think it was Honorable Banner, the difference between 290 and 489. 489 was the program value, but not all the funds were transferred to IDT. What was transferred was 290. Now, out of the 290, everything was spent according to the records that we were given. Whether they were spent for work done or not, the forensic will determine that, but everything was spent. The 208,000 was probably interest earned or something that was referred. It's part of the reconciliation that was done during the time the session agreement was signed to hand over back.
Just showing the full stop with that comment. So it's 208,000.
Yeah, it's 208, yes. I think I've covered everything in terms of how many contractors were appointed and who were appointed. I think we'll get that detail in the report when it's to hand, because we just needed to do our own investigation through Treasury, which must be complete so that we have accurate information. Thank you very much.
If we deal with companies like your navigator, another department, over which we have no control. Perhaps laws that may make that impossible might actually help. It always frightens me, or it's a disheartening experience when you find that LDP houses, poor workmanship, and the person leaves them cracking, the department comes and rebuilds them. They move on elsewhere, and so forth. The consequence management, which is able to have combined assurance across, might be very helpful, because we have now raised, even through these investigations, names very specific of entities that are troublesome. That they find themselves refurbished and they come back to another entity, even by any other name, is often frustrating in a sense. Yes.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think the chairperson is reminding me something. I think as a portfolio committee, we need to stick with national treasure, because there was supposed to be a system that was supposed to link the department and the provinces, so that if you falter in that particular department, you can't run on the other department. I think they need to come and maybe explain to us where is that particular process, what has happened. Because this is the challenge that the chairperson of IDP is saying, that you try to catch this thief, this spice, and run through the window and be met on the other side. So we need to stop that particular thing of those people that are running, doing that particular matter. I think they must account. If it is not them, even if it is the Department of Public Administration and so on, whoever is supposed to do that. But I know that Treasury, there was a system that they were supposed to deal with, and they must account on that particular matter. Thanks.
There is a provision in law now in the regulations for that listing. I think the text is not. What you may, I think I will encourage you actually to raise with them. The process of getting people listed in that thing is very long. I can understand the troubles that they have. They have also gone through court to challenge it. In some cases, found wanting. I think they did this as well as the chief director was responsible to Sematebula in the procurement area of Kalia, who was taken apart by some lawyers. But I think the point is that that process just needs to be cleaned up, and it needs to be made quick. And then the IP system must be implemented. Because if I'm sitting at a national level, I don't know who's giving what tender in Bethlehem, in another place. And we found that sometimes we get tricked by change of name. They would change the names. Remember that by the time you get to know who the director is, the company has already been branded. Because you also have to link up with the IDT director registration process. So we in government really need to tighten up this whole thing. It's worth, I'm not even sure that they have included public entities. And that is another one that we require. But we'll continue to have that discussion, Treasurer, because I've given them a whole lot of lists. I still don't see some of them listed. But then you can't, that means you are now expected to go to every department and say, please don't list these people.
Yeah.
And if they are not listed, then you are exposed to the ban. Thank you.
Well, thank you, DG. That brings us to the point where we have just introduced, or government has just introduced, the central data basis for procurement. So it means that the systems of government are not talking. Because if the central database procurement system is there, then Treasury should know if companies blacklisted by public works, human settlements must not take place. So I think it's a good point that we need to get Treasury here, but also the procurement officer, which has been recently established, office in Treasury, as well as monitoring and evaluation. Because that's the arms that deals with procurement and all that. And it needs to be civic as well. To say, but guys, listen, because in the built environment and construction industry, corruption, looting, plays a major role, colleagues, a major, major role. And at the end of the day, these big conglomerates are walking away smiling, and the poor grade 1, 2, and 3 contractors are struggling at the moment. Chairperson, can I suppress you for 1 minute and give to your chair of audit? I know I'm breaking protocol here, but...
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to answer a little bit on Honorable Matoha's question, the last question regarding the construction
myself.
Also myself. Yes, if you're specifically referring to the Eastern Limited project, our understanding of the partnership was that the most of the money that was paid for the project came from Eastern Limited Consultancy into the coffers of the IDT. And the IDT was then transferred into bills to TNT. So if there were any subcontractors or contractors that TNT had made, they would not have had any contractual agreement with the IDT with this particular project, if I understand you. So that's what I'm trying to clarify, that on an individual, that is the principal understanding of how the whole setup works. So if there were subcontractors that said that they were not paid, I simply do not believe that they were not paid by the IDT, because we know that the IDT, that money went into TAT. And there were the partnership agreement did not have anything on the sideline with regard to any other aspect of TNT. Where the program or the project was, TNT was given that authority and space to look for whatever is going to apply and be in this particular area. But I'm sure that it will also be clarified as we get the conference. The principle is that the agreement was between the two agreements have been seen. From IDT coming from Eastern Union into IDT, from the IDT into the TNT account. So then I have to say that.
No, I understand what you're saying. What I'm trying to say, the agreement was between the municipality and the IDT. As you are saying, the money will flow from the municipality to the IDT. IDT to the trading, to this sector trading. Techno trading is supposed to pay
the suppliers.
But the municipality will never raise with the techno trading if they did not pay the suppliers. They will raise with the IDT. That's what I'm saying. You must try and find out.
Chair, this is a previous mayor. So, you know what they're talking about. Chairperson, Dr. Again.
No, I just want to add one liner to the previous discussion to simply say the legal systems and litigations tend to take very long in South Africa. Maybe even a preliminary declaration form which says when people are tendering, are you involved in any legal disputes? So that it raised the flag. And also verification of ID numbers different entity. Because there's nothing as painful as being defeated in courts by people who are using money they have stolen elsewhere to defeat you in court because they have a war chest. Then that simply perpetuates the process. Thank you, Chair.
I think the report will clarify a whole lot of things. But if we, I think we've come to the end. DG, is there anything from your side?
No, no, Chair. But to say we are working with the IPOC and all of the members who are providing all the necessary support and encouragement to pay, including some of the operational problems. For example, IPOC no longer has an issue with the supervision of this problem. They don't go around speaking English to anybody under any terms. At least now, it is going very well structured. I think it's important that we clean up these things so that we can help maintain organizations that depend on the social infrastructure. Because they have an advantage, they are able to prepare communities to hold human resources, which is now the biggest challenge that we are faced with. You put up a project, if you don't do your you don't take all the steps and cross the T and dot over the I, that project will never get off the ground. Because local communities make sure the procurement is done correctly and all of those things. And they invest in that. That is one of the things that they have done very well. In my portfolio, I have never had any such case out of the portfolio. But whenever I hire another, I conduct another people, there are projects that have been stopped simply because they are careless in making sure that the things are done. So you take communities into their confidence and then projects fall apart. So I would like the committee to encourage ICT to deliver it to communities.
I don't know if there's anything from your side.
We appreciate the good work that you have done with your entity. But what we are requesting is that the fight against corruption must never be reversed now. We must fight with this issue of corruption, PMTE, every side of it where it is residing. It was residing before the turnaround started. It is our PMTT. We can't tolerate corruption forever in this country, which is affecting the poorest of the poor on the ground, the people that we are representing here. It's really our plea, because we know that these things of pollution, as the IPC is saying, it happened in 2010.
Yes.
Some of the companies that were part of it has been given big job by the government. Others are in the state South Africa, the company that I knew very well that was involved in that pollution. They said, no, they don't have faith, you know, to prevent it. So it's painful to us as part of the government.
Welcome,
Honorable
Adams. Dr. Pagini, anything from your side?
Just to thank you, committee, you've been helping to guide us and also to thank the department. As we say, this fight against corruption and also breathing life into IGT is not something that just the board or the executive can do alone. We ought to join hands. That's why our doors are open or you want to visit projects. Or in your various constituencies, you find that certain people have not been paid. Bringing that information, we will work on it. Thank you very much.
I think the report is very crucial for us as the portfolio committee so that we can do also proper oversight, but also engage with you on the report. I was just talking to the content advisor now to say that I think we should just rocked up there one day to see how this project is done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because the paper said 75% complete,
yeah.
But when we get there, it might be 15% complete.
Mm-hmm.
So we will work on that, members, even if it's just for a day, in and out, and do a proper 2 days, just to go and do a proper oversight over that. Because, you know, in my experience in Parliament, DC, and with all due respect to the department, is that the department always likes to show us the good way, but they don't like to show us the part where they're still in progress, work in progress. They don't like to show us that. And part of our work also as oversight is in terms of getting the first phase value of work in progress. So, you know, I've come to it when I was in the NCOP with letter delegation to Limpopo. And they said, oh, the breach is 75% completed. When we got there, there was no breach. There was 75% of the work hasn't even started, doctor. The community liaison officer was still engaging with the contractors to say, no, the 15,000 engagement was not enough for me to go around the community and get people to work. So I need more money to go around. To engage people to come and work. So count on us, department and IDT, in assisting you. Because I'm always saying, if you fail, we fail. Because we partners. You are the implementing agents. We are the lawmakers, but we've also got the responsibility and the oversight. Seeing that what we do, the policy and laws that we do, assist and bear fruit on the ground. So please, I always say, trust us, talk to us. We are not just, I can speak on behalf of my colleagues, we're not here just for passion, though we are here to solve problems as well, jointly, because together we can do more. Let me thank everyone.
Thank you. I actually was going to go up and thank the doctor personally because he took over and was thrown into really, how do you describe this? You know, a corrupt cesspit, and I'm starting to see the light. And I don't think the Auditor General ever thought this entity could be brought out of this morass. So congratulations.
Well, it's our work as well, honourable members. Thank you, honourable Kolabana. And I always say, rather praise the man while he's still alive. And it's our work also, the department or the entities and that are doing good, let us as the portfolio committee, give it to them, tell the world that, look, these people are doing good. Senseless, we just hide it under the table. But let me thank everyone today, the honorable members, Dr. Bakeni, and the chair of the audit, and the rest committee, they say wherever there's a woman in the mix, know that the phone will come out strong. So thank you very much, ma'am. The DG and the director, thank you very much, DDG, and CEO as well, and all the staff also of Parliament, thank you very much. This meeting stands adjourned. Honourable members, just before you go, the previous chairperson, Deputy Minister Ben Martin, just love to have a social engagement with members.
Yeah, I didn't have many.
So we must just indicate we are